dresses.
That's so dumb.
Velger.
Oh, you idiot.
Mass.
Holy crap.
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, resetting our Patriots thoughts. We started off talking about the standings, frankly. And you get a chance to look at those very often with the Patriots because usually they're cruising to the first or the second seed by now. And really, the only thing left to determine the last month plus of the year, usually, is whether they are the number one or the number two. And everything else is perfunctory. Right now, they're number three. They're the three seed in the conference, which means they play on wild card weekend, which means they travel divisional again, which means they probably travel AFC title game. I ask you, do you think this Patriots team can go on the road to win the Super Bowl?
No.
Nope.
Okay. So they need the bye. They need the home divisional game. They need to have a chance at being home in the AFC title game.
As of this moment, correct.
Yes.
Okay. The track record would back you up. The Patriots at home all time in the AFC title game, I think, are 5-1. On the road, they're 2-3. Okay. And they've lost their last three road AFC title games. The last time they run an AFC title game on the road, well, basically there was only two. They both happened in Pittsburgh, and they were both early on in the run. 0-1 in Pittsburgh and 0-4 in Pittsburgh. Other than that, anytime they've gone on the road for the AFC title game, they've lost. Even when they've been a solid, good team wall-to-wall, they've lost. Never mind this group, which feels flawed. So the track record would back you up. They've never been a team that's come out of wild card weekend.
It's crazy that it's 2004. It's the last time they won an AFC championship game on the road.
I mean, they don't do it very often.
No, I know.
And then they played a couple at Denver, lost them both.
And then Indy in 06.
Indy in 06, and that's it. So, like most teams, you go on the road for the conference title game, you're going to lose. All right? So the Patriots have not been immune to that. So that's something we talked about. And, you know, really, I still think the top of the conference is wide open. Kansas City's 9-1. They're two games ahead of you. But you have the head-to-head tiebreaker, which means all you have to do is tie them. And the Ram and the Chiefs, I think, have some losable games left on their schedule. They're at the Rams this week. They play Baltimore. They play the Chargers. They're at Seattle. Kansas City drops a couple. You run the table. You can still be the one seed. I still think it's wide open. The question is, do you think this Patriots team can run the table?
No.
No.
Well, can? Yeah.
Of course they can. Not the way they're playing now, right?
Right. And so, like, again, to me, you sort of have to factor in what have they shown us so far, and that has to be weighted in the equation. Like, if you say to me, Gronk comes back and returns to form, and Brady gets his ass in gear, hell yeah, they can run the table, of course. But up to now, based on what we've seen, A, if Gronk does come back, what's he going to be like? B, is Brady the same player this year that he's been in other years? And C, can they win on the road? They haven't won on the road, and they haven't played well on the road, let alone win. Like, you know, to me, that these are ongoing problems and that would need dramatic turnarounds.
There's that thought. Then there's this. So what's different? What's different? I contend nothing's really different other than the quarterback. That's what I think. I think the defense is the same, meaning meh. Meh to slightly above meh. And that's what they've been here largely for the last decade, with the outlier being 2014 when it was Revis and Browner and Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Jamie Collins, Ninkovich, Alan Branch. Like, that was a good personnel group. That was, I think, a defense that was a cut above. But you take out 2014, the Revis year, I think largely the last decade, they've been a average defense at best, and they're still an average defense at best. To drive this home, one of the most important defensive metrics we use is defensive passer rating, what you give up for passer rating to the opponent, where you rank in defensive passer rating. Going back to 2009, this is where the Patriots have ranked in defensive passer rating. So I'll start in 09, and I'll finish this year. 13th in 09, 13th in 2010, 20th in 2011 when they went to the Super Bowl, 17th, 9th, 10th, 13th, 8th, 17th last year, 8th this year. They're 8th this year, which would match the highest they've been in the last decade. So by this metric, you could say the defense is actually a little bit better than normal. Not good, but a little bit better than their norm. The last time they were 8th was 2 years ago in 16 when they won the Super Bowl, and I don't think that was a great defense either. But just by using this ranking, this is the highest they've been in a while. Last year they were 17th, so the passing defense, which I think is the most important thing in football, has actually gotten a little bit better. So the defense, the same to a little bit better. On the offensive side, I think the offensive line is good, solid, been good from day one. Certainly better than it's been in a lot of years. Better than it's been in a lot of championship years. A lot of championship years, the thing's a holy mess for a month or two, and then Dante figures it out, and by the end of the year, the line's good. This offensive line's been pretty good from day one. Not perfect. They had a rough day in Tennessee, but for the, you know, on balance, they've been a good offensive line. So that's the same to me. I think the weapons, some good, some bad, some new guys, some losses, but nothing beyond what Brady's dealt with in the past. Brady's had years where Edelman's been hurt and Gronkowski's been healthy. He's had years where Gronkowski's been hurt and Edelman's been healthy. He's had years where he's lost guys and had a transition to new receivers. I think the weapons around Brady, not really a disaster. Some good, some bad, some mixing and matching, some injuries. But on balance, I feel he's dealt with worse. Excuse me. I think he's dealt with worse. So that's not changed. What's changed? Brady's changed. I think Brady's worse. Note, I didn't say he's done. But I think his game has fallen off. And you ask me why it's fallen off. And to me, it's not age. I think he's gone from the league MVP to ranked 15th in the league. So he's gone from 1 to 15. Age does not account from 1 to 15. If he's just getting a little older and you're taking that off, then I say he goes from 1 to 5. So there's been a bigger drop than his age would tell you. And I think he's already proven to us, starting at age 37, that he can play at an elite level at an old age. So I'm not giving him that break. No, I lost that 5 years ago. So I'm not going back on that. No, he can play at elite level at 40, at 41, at 42. He proved that to us. But he's not. So I don't go to age. I don't think he's hurt. It's not listed on the injury report. So I don't think he's hurt. I think simply he's put less into it this year. He's put less into it, and so he's getting less out of it. Simple as that. It started in the offseason with putting family ahead of football in a lot of cases, which doesn't make him a bad person, but it probably has made him a little bit worse of a football player. And my question is now, and I don't know, has it bled into the regular season? If he's spending more family time in April, does it mean he's spending more family time in October, November? And is he putting even a little less into it now, prioritizing family and things like that over football? It would make sense. If he was doing it 4 months ago, why wouldn't he keep doing it? And if you're putting a little less into it, you're going to get a little less out. And that's simply what it is to me. The passer rating thing, the offensive passer rating.
So before you go on, my only problem with your argument is that you say, well, he proved 5 years ago that he could play at 37, so it's not age now. So what, he's never going to get old?
He will, but to me, my opinion, is that if it's purely age, it's a gradual thing. When an injury comes in, that's when the guys, the cliff guys are the injury guys. Favre, Manning, Montana. Elway didn't cliff. Elway gradually and slowly became less of a player. I mean, you tell me. So to me, the cliff guys are the guys that have a debilitating injury that finally catches up. If it's just purely old age, you sort of peter.
Yeah, he's going to get old, though, and it's going to start happening, and maybe this is the start. That's the only, I'm just saying don't eliminate that. That's all. But all of that said, there's the rest of it to me is the quarterback hasn't played well.
So here's the difference in the team. I gave you the defensive passer ratings. They're between 8 and 17, 8 and middle of the pack. That's what they are. That's what they've always been. Here is offensive passer ratings, the Patriots' offensive passer ratings the last 5 years, their rankings, starting in 2014. 5th, 4th, 2nd, 2nd, 15th this year, 15th. In fact, Maz, I'll let you deliver this line because I know you're particularly proud of this line.
Go ahead. The last time the Patriots were 15th in offensive passer rating, the last time they were this bad, Bill Belichick deemed it such an issue that he went out and drafted the next quarterback. It was 2013. After that season, he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the last time their pass game was this bad. Magically, Tom Brady got better over the next 4 years. Then Garoppolo got traded, and now Brady has regressed again. So, like, to me, there's a direct correlation there with Garoppolo over his head. But the point is this, when Belichick saw this kind of play 5 years ago, he thought Brady was inching towards the finish line. So, like...
And so did we. So
yeah,
did
I. No. But I'm not taking myself off the hook. I absolutely believe that.
I mean,
that
I sure did.
But the point is that Belichick saw this level of play as being alarming. And so there's no way that Bill looks at this now and doesn't think it's alarming. He absolutely does.
And what's different here is Murray pointed out, 2013 was kind of a bleep show. Kemble Tompkins... Who else?
Aaron Dobson.
Yeah, it was like sort of...
Danny Amendola was hurt from the rip as...
I think he's got a better situation now. I really do.
So my only question is, do we think Edelman's the same guy?
Not quite. And I'm not telling you what's around him is perfect. I'm just telling you he's dealt with injury, inconsistency, new faces, old faces out the door. He's dealt with that every step of the way and has always been elite. almost always been elite.
So let me just get this part of it off my chest, okay? And that is that we always say, well, he always has Gronk or Edelman. Well, he hasn't had Gronk this year for a good chunk of it anyway, and he's had Edelman. But if Edelman's not the same guy, then he hasn't had either, okay? Now, that said, what bugs me when we get into this discussion, and I don't mean you, is that all these other years where Brady's great, we talk about how great he is, and look at how much Brady's able to do with so little. Now you get to a year like this year, and you can't say that Brady's been average? Like, why do people get their back up when I say Brady's been average? The numbers say Brady's been average. He's in the middle of the pack in the league in rating and completion percentage. So I get it. So when the quarterback has the weapons, we praise the quarterback. When he doesn't have the weapons, we blame the lack of weapons. Like, shouldn't it be about the quarterback either way?
I mean, just use your eyes. His play has tailed off.
That game against Tennessee on Sunday, that's as bad as I've seen him play in a long time.
His mechanics have tailed off. The blitz numbers to me stand out. This team's the best team in the league at diagnosing the blitz year after year after year after year, and now they're last? Dead last in passer rating against the blitz? How do you go from first to last like that? And again, I will just ask, is the same amount of time and effort and maniacal adherence to study and game plan like Brady was, maniac in this stuff, has that sort of taken a back seat like the offseason stuff has taken a back seat?
He was spinning out of throws on Sunday. He looked like a guy that did not want to pay the price.
Does Brady still meet Tuesdays with Bill? That's, again, I'll keep asking that till I'll go down there myself and ask it, I think. I still don't want to.
That'll truly be DEFCON 1.
I want someone to ask the question to Tom or to Bill, do you still meet one-on-one Tuesday nights? Or has Tom Brady looked at that and said, this is one of the things that I can be more efficient with. We don't need this, just like I don't need to be at Foxborough the first week of March. You tell me.
If I were you, I would just log on, have one of the interns log into the conference call and have an intern ask it.
It's just next time you go and, you know, rub Brady's knees, just ask him, do you still meet with Bill one-on-one Tuesday nights to go over the game plan during the season like you always have? Or is this another thing that that Brady has found to be unnecessary? I just wonder, has his offseason spilled into the regular season in terms of, I'm not saying he doesn't care, but does he care as much? And clearly he doesn't in the offseason, clearly, like he admitted it.
On Sunday, he didn't look like a guy that cared as much.
Okay, when we
come back, I think you should log in, and then we'll have Tucker get on the phone and ask.
Tucker, go down there and ask for me.
Yeah, Bill, this is Tucker.
So listen, when you come back, we're going to play a piece of Brady's sound where he's asked, you won't hear the question, but he's asked if his routine during the bye week has changed. Has his routine during the bye week changed over the years? Listen to his answer, and we will discuss with your phone calls.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Listening to Felger and Nass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think it's just gotten more and more efficient. I think, like anyone who's been in their job for a long time, you kind of know what to do, and you know what works, and you know what doesn't work. And that's the benefit of experience. So you don't have to waste too much time doing things that you know won't pay off. Could be physical things, could be mental things, could be personal relationship things that you got to work at. But, you know, all those things are important.
Is that a hint that the off-season stuff is sort of carried to the regular season? They asked him about his bye week routine. He says it's gotten more efficient. That's a euphemism for I spend less time on it, because I know what works and what doesn't, so you can scale back. You know, like anyone who's been at their job for a long time, you kind of know what to do and what works, and you know what doesn't work. It's like, if you ask him, like, how do you feel about the first couple weeks of off-season training? How do you feel about passing camps? Yeah, you kind of know what works and what doesn't. That's the benefit of experience. So you'd have to waste too much time on doing things that you know won't pay off. Is that how you feel about passing camp? Is that how you feel about Tuesdays with Bill? Again, I don't know the answer to that. Is that how you feel about... So if you feel that way about passing camp in April, do you feel that way about certain things that you've been doing in the regular season too, and those are now going by the wayside? I don't think these are unfair things of me to ask. These could be physical things, could be mental things, could be personal relationship things you've got to work at. So what's he saying there? Is that about his home life, or is that about developing a rapport with a receiver like Josh Gordon? I don't know. A little bit over the map, you know. I think he's talking about both things there. But either way, when he says it's gotten more efficient, that I feel like that's a euphemism. I feel like he's, like in Spinal Tap, sorry for the dated reference, but Spinal Tap was drawing really low crowds, and they asked their manager about it. He said, well, no, we're not drawing fewer people. Our audience isn't less. It's just getting more selective. And it's like, this is a dude to say that my bye week and off seasons have become lighter, now become more efficient. It's like another way to say it. And that's what I wonder. So again, that's just my theme. I ain't giving up on it. And I do wonder if it's carried over into the regular season. I do. So your thoughts on this and everything else. We've got Steve and Bill Ricka. Hi, Steve. What do you got?
Hey, Thugga, what's going on? Listen, if you sign a team-friendly deal and then show up early for practice, right, for free, and then you rip through the regular season with an MVP, you rip through the playoffs, then you go to the Super Bowl with a record-breaking performance, then you look for your coach for help, and he's eating nachos, looking at his tablet, watching YouTube on the sidelines, you get pretty pissed off. You know, and it kind of, you know, makes you bum out. So next year, you really think you're going to show up for free early?
Okay. So maybe there's reasons for the way Brady's doing it, putting less into it. Maybe he's justified in some ways, like wanting to spend more time with your family versus work. That's totally understandable. Totally. Makes him a good person. I also think it makes you a worse football player. Like I've been saying, like you can't, something has to give. If you spend more time with the family, you're spending less time at work. And if you're spending more time at work, you're spending less with the family. There's just no, they can't create extra hours in the day. There's only 24. So if you spend more here, you're spending less there. So Brady, good person. He wants to spend more family time. Great. Work suffers. Just the way it is. Fact of life.
I don't think there's a solution for that Brady could possibly find. I mean, people have been looking for that one for a long time.
So has Brady reached a point where, you know, it was always football, there, and there, for everything, grind it out. And he gets to the point last year where he asks, and he told us that he's asking this, why are we doing this and who are we doing it for? And he decides it's not worth all this. And so he goes to hockey practice, and in the meantime, he's not putting the same amount of work into it.
Sure. So what you're saying is Tom Brady may have evolved as a human being.
And devolved as a football player.
Yeah. I mean, they do kind of go hand in hand. Like, I don't know that there's a way around that. Sooner or later, you sort of just, you know, it doesn't become as important as other things.
Bill in the car, what do you got for us on Mookie Betts?
Hey, guys, Brian. My opinion, when the lights are on, the stars need to shine the brightest. Past few years, Mookie Betts hasn't been able to do that. My opinion, the last two games, I thought he should have been on the bench, not Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie Bradley played much better throughout the playoffs than Mookie Betts did. And I'll lead you guys with that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if that's true. Bradley had bigger hits, right? Bigger singular hits. But, I mean, I think he hit under 200.
Okay, I'm looking up Jackie Bradley's career postseason batting average. I hope to goodness that it's not better than Mookie Betts.
Oh, I got to guess he's under 200.
Postseason career batting average, 185.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's bad. His batting average.
185.
Now, his hits this year were huge. Again, and what do you have, 9 RBI in that Houston series where he had
You're asking me to come up with a number out of my head that I couldn't possibly come up with.
Well, I'm not asking you to come up with it. I'm talking, speaking rhetorically. I'm not always talking to you. Like, you got to get over that. So, like, I look at that and say, all right, the timing of his hits was important, and the impact of his hits was huge. But he didn't have that many.
Okay, would you hold Mookie Betts' postseason performances against him when it comes to the contract?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
It's also why I would consider moving him for a pitcher like Jake DeGrom or Noah Syndergaard if the Mets were willing to make that kind of deal.
So, look, the Red Sox aren't going to do it. Okay, but when we started getting into the discussion the other day about the Bryce Harper scenario, that if you could sign a premium free agent right now and, you know, guaranteeing yourself that you have a player for the next 8 years, I would do it. I mean, Mookie's given you no indication that he would stay here long term. And the other thing is, I've said this to you before, if he's as valuable as everyone thinks he is, and he was the MVP of the league in 2018, now that JD Martinez is out of it, it's going to be him. Okay, I'd have given it to JD Martinez, but that argument's gone. It's going to be one of the three guys who are up for it tonight. Okay, now that that's out, If he's that valuable, why doesn't he hit third? Can someone answer me that question?
So why do you think?
Because I think that either he doesn't want to do it, which again brings me back to the question of, well, then how valuable can he be?
I mean, is this new metrics too, though? I mean, normally your best hitter hits third, but now a lot of times that guy's in the two hole, like Aaron Judge hits second, right? Doesn't he? Like things like that. Isn't this just isn't nerds taking over?
How come he didn't do it last year?
So what do you think?
Because I think that Mookie Betts doesn't want it. I think he doesn't want to hit in the middle of the lineup. I think in his mind, it's not where he belongs. He's, you know, he thinks of himself as more of a leadoff hitter. And there's pressure that comes with hitting the middle of the order. You get pitched differently. You have to drive the ball out to the opposite field. There's all kinds of things that come into play when you're hitting third or fourth that don't necessarily apply when you're in the one hole. When you're hitting leadoff, all your job really is to get on base and run well. The home runs are gravy, which I think is kind of how it is with Mookie. And so, look, I think he's dynamic. Okay, but if he were that good, he'd hit third or fourth.
One more segment of your calls. I don't know if I totally agree with that, because I just think this is. I think there's all sorts of new ways to do it. The lineups are different than used to be. Your best hitters 3-4. It's not like that anymore.
I still think for the majority of the time.
Where does Harper hit in Washington?
I don't know.
Does he lead off?
No.
Is there another example of a guy like Mookie Betts leading off?
A lot of teams are hitting their best hitter second now.
That's my own.
Right, like Aaron Judge hitting second with the Yankees. And I think Trout
Rizzo and Chris Bryant were hitting two in the Cubs lineup.
So, but even then I say, okay, fine. Like, so you want him to hit with a man on base? Maybe the leadoff man gets on. That's what the logic is there. Why does Mookie hit leadoff? Like, I find that if he's as good as everyone says, why is he hitting leadoff?
Okay. I don't know if I'd hold that against him.
I do.
Okay. Excellent. More of your wonderful phone calls after Murray's update.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
All right, back to your phones as promised. John in Providence waiting patiently. What do you got, John?
Hi, I want to say that Jimmy Garoppolo was easily one of the best draft picks they ever made.
Agreed.
You guys always talk about how would you rather have him for 10 years instead of Brady right now. But I think Brady right now is mainly created because of Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo with that fire under his ass. I think he's mainly so good right now because of Jimmy.
Okay, so I agree that Garoppolo motivated Brady. No problem. I absolutely agree with that. But that's it? Like, it's two-pronged, Maz. The Garoppolo thing was clearly there. But if Brady was in better standing with Belichick, I don't think he'd be skipping this stuff.
Oh, so that's probably right. Yeah, I'll grant you that. I mean, I'll grant you that. If things were better and there were, you know, I don't know, I would say on the part of Bill a little bit more of an acknowledgement of how valuable Tom has been to the operation.
Or whatever.
I'm just, you know.
If they paid him.
How about human stuff?
I bet if they paid him, he'd show up day one. You know, I bet that's part of it. If you make him a top three quarterback, you show up for the passing camp. Okay, fine. Make me a top three guy. Yeah, sure. I'll show up whenever you want. I bet that would happen too. So, I mean, I think it's a confluence of events. And again, the family stuff, Brady's good for him, I guess. No, good for him. Good for him. I just say there's a trade-off there, right? There's a trade-off.
Sure there is.
And I mean, because I can't pick to anything. I don't think he's hurt badly. Does he got a nagging something? Maybe. But I don't think he's hurt badly. I don't think his weapons are in bad shape. They're not perfect, but I've seen worse. I think his line is good. Certainly seen him play with much worse. I've seen him have all sorts of other things that have been much worse than this. It's been a while since I've seen him 15th in the league in quarterback rating. Long time.
You just think he's lazy.
No. Don't do that, Murray. Don't do that to me.
Well, I'm used to bold takes here. You're kind of sitting on the fence a little
no,
bit.
No, I'm not.
You know, he's not hurt. And he's not old, so what is it then? Give me a word. I need one word to sum it up.
He's putting in less effort.
Part of what
that
so he's lazy.
That doesn't mean he's putting in no effort. Don't do that.
But part of what makes Brady and
Jimmy cackling back there.
No. Part of it is like there's an X factor with Brady that is the drive.
The drive is what has set him apart. The over the top maniacal drive and commitment and competitiveness. He's not as. So he's still competitive compared to other quarterbacks. He's just not as competitive compared to himself.
Yeah, lazy. Where he used to be with him, Michael Jordan, and yeah, no, I'll give you that. But I do wonder, though, you know, thinking about this, you know, too. So it's the Belichick. I don't think that relationship has gotten any better, despite the fact that you'll see photos throughout the year like, oh, see, they're talking on the field before the game. Remember, go back to the Green Bay game.
When they talk, Bills ask him who he was throwing it to.
Well, Soto, okay, how many times did he target Josh Gordon in this game? So when it started going sideways, oh, who am I throwing it to? Oh, I'll just keep throwing it to your guy, the guy you brought in as, in air quotes here, help, Bill. Now do you know who I'm throwing it to? Josh. It's going to Josh. It's going to Josh. It's going to Josh again. Who am I throwing it to? Going to Josh. Spite throws.
So I do feel he was subtly calling out Gordon in a lot of his comments yesterday.
Definitely.
At the press conference. Again, just because Zoe talked to Brady today, and Zoe was talking today about all sorts of stuff about Gordon not being totally confident in the offense. And he needs to get his confidence. When he gets his confidence and knows where to go, they think he can go off. And Brady was talking today about, well, I think it's a matter of, or he was talking yesterday about, the you know, spreading the ball to everybody. How come you don't spread the ball anymore? He says, I think it's just a matter of everyone getting their job done the right way and the way that we expect, doing things with a lot of effort and a lot of confidence. He ain't talking about Julian Edelman. He ain't talking about James White. He might be talking about Hogan, but Hogan's been here 3 years. Who's he talking about?
Well, and he used the word effort, too. Don't leave that one out.
Gordon has always been a questionable effort guy, and Zoe was saying today he lacks confidence in the offense. So who is Brady talking about there? And then I also found it fascinating. Play part one of the offense's identity, Jimmy, because this is one that stood out to Maz.
I think we're definitely...
He's asked about the offense's identity and do they lack one? You know, what do they hang their hat on? This is his answer.
I think we're definitely, trying to find things that this is the first really chance we've had to evaluate that. And there's been a lot of moving parts this year for one reason or another, with the receivers, tight ends, running backs, a little bit with the O-line, not so much with the quarterback position.
Like, he even throws running back in there, for crying out loud. Like, all of a sudden, that's a position of priority. Like, Deion Lewis, I don't have Deion Lewis out. Meanwhile, James White's the MVP of the team. Running back's an issue? Really? Is running back an issue for Brady? The whole thing is he rattles that off, not so much a quarterback. I just...
Since when have they not had moving parts, though? It's like, it's always that.
I'm not telling you that he's right. I'm just telling you the fact that he said it is Brady's way of tweaking Bill. And you know what? The more I think about it, even the Gordon comment, Mike, when he starts saying, confidence and effort in practice, well, we all knew that's not a shot at Gordon. That's a shot at Bill. Bill's the one who brought Gordon here. Gordon was a solution to their passing problems. So on some level, and now he's locking her next to Brady, and Brady's going to be sitting there going, this was our answer? This guy who's been a dog everywhere? Or has been a dog in Cleveland and hasn't been in the league for 5 years?
So apparently, as Matt just mentioned, they're not practicing well. This is another thing that Brady mentioned subtly yesterday, but when we put it through the Felger and Maz processor, we find out they're not practicing well. This is part two, again, about the offensive identity. Just pick it up.
I think that's all part of... what we're trying to do. We got to get out there and practice together, and that transitions. If you practice well, you can gain a lot of confidence, and ultimately you play confidently because you can play aggressively knowing what the other guys are doing. We just haven't had that, I would say, overall consistency and the ability to practice together, which that's not an excuse. I mean, every team goes through that.
Okay, so you stop there.
A lot of
which is true.
So if it's not an excuse, why are you mentioning
You've gone through it every year. Every year Gronk is hurt or in or out or practicing or not. Every year you have guys that you keep out of practice, and like that happens every year. Why is this year any different? This happened every other year, and you're at the top of the league. Now it's happening this year, and you're 15th. But again, we've got to get out there and practice together, and that transitions to the game. So they're not, again, if I go back and look at the injury reports, so Gordon was on the injury report all the way up until last week. Was he not at practice this whole time? Is he not out there? Is that what it is?
I have no idea.
I mean, we know Gronk's not out there a lot of time, but he's never out there. Like, that's a common thing. Brady, at this point, needs Gronk. I mean, I've been told over and over again that Brady does not need to work with Gronkowski in April and May, so does he even need to work with him now? Should that matter? So all of a sudden, they're not practicing well? If you practice well, you gain a lot of confidence. Again, there's that confidence word for Gordon And ultimately, you go out and play confidently because you can play aggressively knowing what the other guys are doing. We haven't had that. So they haven't really practiced well.
See, and look, to me, that's what he's saying. We haven't practiced well. Like, I don't
think guys haven't been out there.
I don't think it has anything to do with the who's been out there and who hasn't. To me, it's we haven't practiced well. That's what I take out of it.
We've got
to
get out
there.
Again,
Brady can never say anything directly. You know that. Everything's always roundabout or passive.
This is why we have the processor.
Yes, exactly. And so it takes him for, you know, he always hides the real point somewhere in the middle and glosses it over so that you might miss it, which is why I come back to, well, you know, we've had changes at wide receiver, tight end, running back, even the O-line a little bit, everywhere but quarterback. Anyway, you know, like... So I think that's classic Brady. Let me just drop that one in the middle there. And, you know, just to point out to everybody, I'm the same. All they did was take away all my weapons, and people want to know why we suck this year. And so, that's...
No, that's through the processor.
Is through the Felger and Mads processor.
It's on high.
I admit that, Murray. But so, like, I look at it and I say, you know, you what I fear with Brady now, and this goes hand in hand with... the throws he made on Sunday and the way he made them, not the throws per se. Spinning out of them, throwing the ball out of bounds, missing people by 10 yards. And then you going over his press conference earlier and saying, Tom, what about the blitz? Geez, I haven't given that much thought. Oh, do you think having a young quarterback pushed you when he was here? Huh, geez, you know, now they mention I haven't given it much thought. It's like this casual, you know, laissez-faire attitude, cavalier attitude. My concern now with Brady is that there's resignation. And he looks at it and says, "This, we're not doing anything this year. We got Josh Gordon out there who doesn't know which way is north. Like, he's running all over the place. Gronk can't get on the field. They wanted to trade his ass anyway. You know, the running backs are banged up. We got a rookie in the backfield who we have to put the fullback out there for him because he doesn't know which way to go. And when he's not out there, we have to put a wide receiver out there. And we should probably use two fullbacks for him because he really doesn't know which way to go."
So not lazy. He's not hurt. And he's not old. He's a quitter.
He's resigned.
He's a quitter.
There's resignation that he just look. He doesn't believe. I said this on Monday after this game on Sunday. Brady doesn't look to me like he believes in it. Like he doesn't believe that it's going to work.
What's another word for resignation?
I keep saying buy-in, right? Like he's having trouble buying in because he doesn't believe in it.
Andy in Boston disagrees with us on a lot of stuff. Go ahead, Andy.
Hey, so I just heard you guys talking all offseason about how Belichick's going ahead with the rebuild, about how he's getting rid of Cooks and Solder and Lewis and Amendola. And so clearly there were a lot of guys who left. Gronk is a shell of himself. You guys talked about earlier about how Edelman hasn't been quite as good. So it sounds like there are a lot of factors that you guys have admitted to and talked about a lot, and now it seems like it's all on Brady. After they won six straight and they had a really bad game, I'll admit, last week, but seems like you guys are kind of trying to play it both ways.
Well, I didn't like some of the moves, but once again, Bill's been proven right on some of the moves. The left tackle, they upgraded. Trent Brown's been every bit what Nate Solder was. They haven't lost anything at left tackle.
Probably better.
Solder's been brutal.
Okay, well, I mean, but if you compare Solder last year to Brown this year, it's at best a wash, but probably even a little bit better for Brown.
No, that's probably right. I mean, the play there, I was never a huge shoulder guy. Brown's been pretty good.
Yeah, and the offensive line, again, I think as a whole, has been decent. That fits and starts last week, but on balance, pretty good offensive line play this year. The Amendola thing, I think, hurts him now, and I'll give that to Brady. He's got one less guy that he trusts in there at crunch time, and I think that's hurt him. There's no question about it. The Cooks thing, I don't know. Put up good numbers in volume. But was he reliable week to week, tough spot, bail you out kind of guy?
Not really.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong person.
I just wish... go ahead, Mass.
No, I never thought that much of Cooks. But no, go ahead.
Me either. I just wish the pick was used a little more responsibly, other than for the fat guy at Georgia who got hurt.
Or how about the running back who can't stay healthy? No? Brian in Belmont, how do you feel about Mookie Betts at leadoff?
So, Mass, who was going to bat leadoff this year if Mookie didn't? Who on that great team of base stealers, high average hitters... was going to bat leadoff.
Yeah,
The reason why he batted leadoff is because there was no one else to bat leadoff. You want your leadoff hitter to bat over 300, steal 30 bases, get on base, so the rest of the team can drive him in. Who else on that team could do that?
I think Benintendi could hit leadoff. I think Benintendi would be a perfectly fine leadoff hitter. He doesn't hit a ton of home runs, hits a ton of doubles, gets on base, runs pretty well.
Oh, we hate the way he runs.
Who, Benintendi?
Yes, he runs like a jackass.
No, but when I say runs
he
pretty
fast.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he's not slow.
He's a jackass.
Yeah, that. Yeah. So, I think I'm not worried about who would hit leadoff. Like, all of a sudden, that's a problem?
I'm just saying, in this day and age, I don't hold that against a guy.
Yeah,
these guys are all over the place.
I still think your best hitters are in the middle of the lineup. And if you want to tell me now it's 2 and 3 instead of 3 and 4, fine, I'll give you that. But leadoff? I don't know. That one feels...
like they're hiding him? They're protecting him?
No.
What are they doing?
A little selfish. Feels a little selfish to me. Like they tried to hit Mookie in the middle of the lineup last year and he didn't want to do it. So they had to move him back. So he just likes it. Maybe he likes the stolen bases. He likes the whole 30-30 thing. When the fact is, if you can drive the ball and drive people in, you'd be better off in the middle of the lineup.
That was a great quick translation. The MVP of the American League, the most selfish player on the Red Sox.
I'm just trying to call him like
I think Murray's bastardizing our commentary.
He is.
That's okay.
He's putting it through the Murray process.
That's okay.
I would argue he's simplifying the commentary.
Luke in Framingham, you've been waiting forever. I'm sorry. I forgot to get to you. Luke, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. All right. So I got a couple series on the Patriots.
Quick. You got to be quick.
I'll go. Yep. All right. So we got Gordon. So Belichick drafted him. Belichick traded for him, I believe, just to get back at Tom and kind of pick at him. Because on the front, he looks like, oh, he's a good receiver. To an average fan, they'll think, oh, this guy can put up numbers. But to anyone who really knows football and knows how much trouble he can cause for any locker room, they'll be like, oh, and discount him.
Okay. So I'm going to stop you, Luke. Again, thanks for holding on. But so again, now we're talking about intentional sabotage. I'm going to trade for a player that's going to drive Brady nuts. I'm going to give Brady a real a-hole that doesn't get it and doesn't care. Let's see how he likes that. No, that's not what... these are not intentional things. These are not intentional things. Gordon gave him a good deal, folks. He was cheap. And they like a good deal. They like a good deal. He had no money on his contract, cost very little to give up. So it was a buy low, sell high kind of thing. And that's why they did it. Period, story over. Dez Bryant was probably asking for too much money. That's what it probably comes down
to. Well, look, and given the way that thing went, I mean, when a guy's Achilles pops, it usually means it's ready to go.
Or maybe they knew something there on top of it. Either way, they weren't trying to intentionally mess with Brady. Maybe it's a side benefit for Bill. Maybe that's a little cherry on top. But no, he's not intentionally sabotaging anything. The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right. Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody. I was there again today, by the way, at Town Fair Tire.
Oh, yeah? You winterizing?
No, I'm not winterizing. My wife's car had a flat. I brought it in last week. They put a new tire on for me. And they said, you know, come back in a week because the car's older. At 120,000 miles. You just got to check the nuts. So, yeah, I'm all for getting your nuts checked. That's something you got to do every now and then. So I popped in there today, and they had me in and out of there. Great place.
Excellent. All right, well, start with, speaking of cars, and obviously, and all things automotive, here's Felger versus Rich in the car from earlier today.
Rich in the car, hi.
Oop, let me find the correct one. Here we go. There it is. All right.
Rich in the car, hi.
Go to the Super Bowl. You have to feel like if you're Tom Brady that the personnel decisions that Bill made affected the outcome of that game. You got still fighting over the whole Guerrero thing. And then this being Bill's possible last year, why are you going to try? Wouldn't it be the best middle finger to just have a half-ass season and say, all right, go out on a low note?
So I don't see, again, now you're talking about personally or purposely sabotaging games and seasons. You haven't heard me say that. I don't believe that. I believe Bill sabotaged a Super Bowl. I don't believe Brady sabotaging games personally to give Bill a middle finger. He wants to win the games. But does he want to do all the little grindy day-to-day things that he's always done in his career? That obviously is not. He does not want to do that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
So you could feel the tension building there.
And
like,
then...
Yeah, and then... So now we're back to this. And
He didn't purposely throw the game.
He didn't quit.
He thought he could win without Malcolm Butler. He didn't purposely lose the game.
Well, Maz had a recommendation for the guy that's going to be named the MVP of the American League, likely, Mookie Betts. If he continues to fail in the postseason...
To me, I look at it and say, if he wins multiple MVPs, I mean, one's bad enough, but he never produces in the October. And I say one's bad enough if you don't produce in October.
Right.
Like, they go, it makes it worse in some ways.
Yeah, he's baseball Peyton Manning.
Or A-Rod. I mean, really? Well, that's the same kind of guy we're talking about.
Right.
And until he got on the juice, Barry Bonds was the same kind of cat. So I don't mean to pick on A-Rod. Barry Bonds sucked in October, too, until all of a sudden he discovered HGH and everything else. Then he got good.
Is that a message?
I'm just saying that if I'm Mookie Betts, I would put a premium. I would put... I just got that. A little bit of a delay. Yeah, seriously, Mookie. Talk to your trainer. See what you can come up with.
Pretty good, Mass.
Yeah, no. I would. If I'm Mookie, I'd recommend the clear or the cream. Either one. It seemed to work for Barry Bonds.
Don't get caught. Whatever it takes.
Yeah, and make sure your skull doesn't grow. Like Barry Bonds' head.
Right.
Thing got to be the size of a freaking Volkswagen.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.